Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the strawberry watermelon refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. It's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're going to need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsay Clancy from the Hitting Tillers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Doctor, I'd just like to ask you about one of the things you just said to this jury that apparently stood out in your mind. And that would be the dichotomy or the difference between two statements that Lindsay made. One being, I believe, in the hospital. And you felt that there was a subsequent statement that was made by her that contradicted that or was different from that. And that would be after 3 days of you and Mac testing her. Is that right? Can you just say, is it right or wrong?
Mr. Reddington, it's not quite right.
Okay. Why don't we do it this way?
Yeah.
You just told the jury that Lindsay made a statement to you at the conclusion of the 3 days that you and Mac were questioning her and testing her and interviewing her. Is that fair? Yes or no?
What I would say is...
Yes or no?
No.
Did you tell this jury, in addition, that Lindsay made a different statement when she was in the hospital? Yes or no?
What I said to the jury is...
I'm asking you, sir, did you make that statement to this jury?
What I intended to say...
No, not what you intended. Can you answer my question? Yes or no?
No.
Now, is Dr. Helbrun aware of the concept of post-intensive care syndrome?
Post-intensive care syndrome?
Yeah, PICS. It's called PICS.
No, I have not heard of post-intensive care syndrome.
Dr. Helbrin, aware of when a person is coming out of major surgery and has been subject to anesthesia, that it is known that they have delusions, hallucinations, make statements that don't make sense. Are you aware of that, sir?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
And is that from your personal experience, professional experience? Because you didn't know where PICS was when they asked you, right?
Yes, it's not from my personal experience or my professional experience.
You received a notification to evaluate Lindsay Clancy on this criminal case from the district attorney's office, right?
Yes.
And do you recall when you received that notification?
It would have been sometime before January of 2025, because that's when I started reviewing the documents that they provided.
Okay, so January of 26, and then in the spring of 26, you go to the Tewksbury Hospital with Mac and you interview Lindsay, right?
Correct.
So how many months is it from the time that you were appointed or requested or asked to help the DA's office to the time you saw Lindsay? How much time passed?
Probably about 18 months.
About a year and a half. And how much time passed from that point, going backwards, to January of 23?
I'm not sure what the question is.
Okay, January of 23, you add a year, that's January of 24, right?
Yeah.
It's 1 year.
Yeah.
January 24, you add a year up to January 25. That's 2 years, right?
Yes.
January 25 up to when you and Mac finally go out to Tewksbury to interview this young lady is how many months?
Well, it would be about 3 years.
Okay. And are you telling this jury that it's good, using the term loosely, medical practice to interview a young lady like this 3 years after the event for purposes of helping the DA, in your opinion?
Do you mean in the context of a forensic mental health assessment, sir?
That's the only reason you're here, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So can you answer my question?
The answer to your question is the sooner that I'm able to evaluate somebody after their after their involvement in the alleged offense, the more closely I can come to using that current state information as something that is relevant to their mental state at the time of the offense.
Okay. So in other words, yes, it is better to see them sooner rather than later, to coin a phrase, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And have in mind January of 25 that you were retained by, and again, you know, normally this isn't an issue, who cares, but how much money did you make on this case, since they want to ask my doctor? How much money did you make on this case?
That depends when I'm finished, but I mentioned earlier that I had spent 180 hours before coming to Plymouth.
How much money did you make on the case, doctor? Simple.
Well, it's not that simple, but I'm being paid at $300 an hour.
Okay, so how much money did you make on the case?
Well, $300 an hour times 180.
What's your last billing?
I've been billing monthly, sir.
Okay, you must know what the total billing is up to this point, don't you?
I actually have not added it up.
How about you just give us your best estimate, doctor?
Well, let's see. Probably up to this point, it's been about
$54,000. $54,000. And it will be more, right, when we get finished with you today, right? It'll be more.
Yes.
Okay. So you received from me, by certified mail, video interview of Lindsay by my guy, Dr. Resnick, right?
Correct.
You received the notes from Dr. Margaret Spinelli, right?
Yes.
You received the notes from my doctor, Paul Zeisel, right?
Yes.
You received the report that was prepared and submitted by Dr. Philip Resnick, right?
Yes.
You received the report prepared and submitted by Dr. Margaret Spinelli, right?
Yes.
And you received the report prepared by Dr. Zizel, right?
Yes.
And then I said, if you have any questions, give me a call, drop me a line, whatever, but we never talked until today, right?
That's correct.
All right. Now, you have a curriculum vitae, that talks about that you are a clinical psychologist, correct, as you've told us yesterday, right?
Yes.
Have you ever treated a woman in postpartum psychosis?
When I was a staff psychologist at the forensic service at Florida State Hospital.
When was that, please?
That was back in 1982.
82?
Yes. I had a therapy group which was comprised of women who had killed their children. They were severely mentally ill, and at that time, it was important to recognize the severity of their mental illness. And so I worked with them in a group at that time.
Okay. And this is 44 years ago?
Yes.
All right. And where was it?
It was at the Florida State Hospital in Chattahoochee, forensic unit, forensic service.
How many of these people did you have a chance to interview in group or whatever you did?
There were four or five in the group.
Four or five. Okay. Well, you are also a forensic psychology expert working for Park Dietz and Associates, right?
I have an affiliation with Park Dietz and Associates, yes.
Yes, but that's basically, that's the letterhead that you have on all your stuff, right? Park Dietz and Associates, Inc. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. You know Mac, do you?
Do I know Dr. Mac?
Yeah, Dr. Mac, yeah. The guy that was here testifying for the last 2 days, Friday and Monday. You know
yes,
him?
Yes, I do know him, right. Yes.
And he works with Park Dietz as well, right?
I think he has the same kind of affiliation I do, which is we both have jobs and do things elsewhere, but we occasionally do cases in affiliation with Park Dietz and Associates.
Right. And continuing on, and if you have it, you can certainly take a look at it. Make sure I don't misrepresent anything on your V-Day, as you refer to it. You also were involved with Giant Food Corporation. You do fitness for duty assessments. What is that?
What are fitness for duty assessments?
Yeah, Giant Food Corp. What's Giant Food Corporation?
Oh, that's something that I did many years ago. Basically, a company or an organization might refer someone who is having difficulty at work, having symptoms, making threats, that sort of thing, and they would ask for an evaluation from a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and I did that for a while for Giant Food Corporations.
And you also did it for U.S. Airways, apparently, evaluations and consultation, right?
Yes.
You also did it for the Texas Education Commission. You put on your resume the forensic clinical site visitor, Sam Houston State Hospital or University, right?
Yes.
You were a grant reviewer for the Office of Victims of Crime for the United States Department of Justice. That's the feds. That's the U.S. Attorney's Office, right?
Yes.
Okay. You also worked and you did violence risk assessment consultant as a consultant to the New Jersey Department of Mental Health Services, right?
Yes.
You also consulted as a research consultant with the community education centers in New Jersey, right?
Yes.
Research Advisory Board, the Center for the Analysis of, actually the FBI. You work for the FBI?
I consulted with the FBI, yes.
And in consulting with the FBI, you also consult with the Bureau of Prisons, right? BOP?
Yes.
When you're consulting for, well, okay, look, site visitor, juvenile justice and psychology, you were involved with that, right?
Yes.
Consultant forensic psychology service for the Walter Reed Medical Center, correct?
Yes.
When you work on the consulting with the Bureau of Prisons, basically what you're doing is you're evaluating, as you told us a couple of times, people that are wrongfully convicted and they're in jail for decades, and you would evaluate them for the Bureau of Prisons to see if they're okay to release to society, right?
That does not sound like a typical question that I would evaluate for the Bureau of Prisons.
All right. Well, what would you evaluate for the Bureau of Prisons?
Just so we know,
Bureau of Prisons is federal as opposed to the Department of Correction, which is state, right?
Yes, that's okay. Right.
So go ahead. Tell me what you do for the Bureau of Prisons.
Well, one of the things that I might do is conduct a meeting or a workshop on a topic such as violence risk assessment or something like that. So I have done that, deliver a workshop or provide an organizational meeting, provide information and so on a number of occasions.
And do you evaluate people to see if they're able to be reintegrated into society?
I do that as well, yes.
Okay. You also are involved with sexual violence risk, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
You also are involved with specialized police response and collaboration with behavioral health systems in Pennsylvania, right?
Correct.
Sexual violence risk, again, for purposes of the Department of Correction. You focused on that, right?
Yes.
Principles of forensic assessments that you would be assessing juveniles for purposes of juvenile assessment and risk assessment, right?
Yes.
You also are involved with violence risk and sexual violence risk, correct?
Yes, correct.
Juvenile assessments, risk assessments, and principles of forensic assessment for the American Academy of Forensic Psychology. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
And also a focus on juvenile assessment and risk assessment of juveniles, right?
Yes, correct.
Violence towards others, psychiatrically hospitalized populations. That would be what? Patient-on-patient assaults or something like that when somebody's in a mental institution?
Patients against patients, against staff, that sort of thing.
They can be pretty violent places, can't they?
They can be sometimes, yes.
Sexual violence risk, you involved with New Orleans, Louisiana, sexual violence risk assessment, right?
Correct.
Obtaining and using mental health experts in criminal litigation for the Administrative Office of the United States Courts, right?
Yes.
What does that mean? What did you do with that when you were dealing with obtaining and using mental health experts in criminal litigation?
Well, I have had the occasion to provide workshops to prosecutors, to defense attorneys, to judges, and so on. And depending on some of the questions that arise, such as what's the most effective way to obtain and present a forensic psychologist or forensic psychiatrist expert, I might do a half day or a full day workshop on that.
Okay, so my question, sir, I know you get in there, but where did you lecture or give a lecture to criminal defense attorneys?
I've given a number of those lectures over the years. I can't recall them all offhand.
Okay. But my question, sir, was that you were working on behalf of the Administrative Office of the United States Courts, federal courts, right?
Yes,
that's
right.
Can I ask you that question? Okay.
Yeah.
You also worked for the Forensic Mental Health Assessment for the Ohio Forensic Psychiatric Center.
Yes,
inmates,
right? Yes.
You also participate and have written about To Kill or Not Kill, That Is the Question, for Drexel University, where you were a professor, correct?
Yes.
All right. Assessing risk of violence towards others in psychiatrically hospitalized populations. You focused on that, right?
Yes.
You had a chance, sir, to give a total of, 131 lectures or workshops presented in the area of violence, risk assessment, sexual offenses, and forensic mental health and ethics, right?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Aggression, forensic psychological assessment, risk assessment, treatment of mentally disordered offenders and juveniles. That's another focus, correct?
Yes, it is.
You've had a number of publications that you put on your CV. Basically, you're talking about justice-involved youths, correct?
Yes, that's one of the things I talk about.
Appraising Jackson-based unrestorability to competence to stand trial deals with the standard of competence to stand trial, correct?
Yes, it is.
Public perception on policies to address prenatal substance use recommendations regarding maternal criminal prosecutions. What does that prosecute a woman that's pregnant who's involved with drug use?
Yeah, that sounds like something that would have been a dissertation where I served on the committee and was a co-author of some kind, but the individual who wrote the dissertation would have been the first author there.
All right. And life sentence for juveniles, sequential model for juvenile justice, justice involving men, forced medication and competency to stand trial. These are interests or focuses of yours, sir?
Yes.
Urine drug screens as a baseline for predictors of graduation from drug court.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That you were involved with drug court?
Yes, I've been involved in writing about and consulting to drug courts over the years, yes.
And disputed paraphilia diagnoses and legal decision-making is one of your other focuses, right?
That was one of my graduate students, and I was a supervising and second author.
Paraphilias would be in the... I mean, that's basically if you have some kind of weird sexual things that you do, right?
Something like that, yes.
Yeah. Continuing on, juvenile, a lot of juvenile focus on your resume, correct, sir?
Yes, there's a fair amount of juvenile work that I've done over the years.
Involuntary medication, trial competence, clinical dilemmas, substance abusing adjudicated adolescents, and your resume basically is a number of pages, correct? Would you agree with me? It's almost 70 pages, right?
Yes, I would agree with you.
Okay. Flipping through and jumping ahead, sir, you wrote book chapters, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
You dealt with forensic mental health assessments, principles, and standards of care, right?
That's right.
Violence risk assessment, right?
Correct.
Juvenile violence risk assessment, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Managing hindsight, bias, and unstructured judgments, implications for legal decision-making is an article that you had, chapter or whatever that you wrote, right?
Yes, it is.
Again, juvenile delinquency, juvenile delinquency, juvenile delinquency, juvenile delinquency. A lot of focus on juveniles, right?
Yes, there's a fair amount of then you focus have on juveniles over the years, yes.
A number of reviews that you have... published presentations that you've presented, a lot of them dealing again with juveniles and dealing with assessments of prisoners to have them released into society, things of that nature, right?
Yes.
Life sentence juveniles, for example, is one of the things you focus on, right?
Yes, again, okay. There's been a fair amount of juvenile work and...
Handling difficult cross-examination, integrating perspectives, combining substance with style and learning... What does that mean? Handling difficult cross-examination.
Well, one of the things that people as forensic psychologists need to do is convey what they have done in a way that is effective. And so there are things that...
To a jury?
To a jury, to a judge, to an attorney... various kinds of...
Well, when you're dealing with an attorney, sir, you're presenting information to the attorney. You're not dealing with difficult cross-examination, are you?
Could you repeat the question, please?
Sure. You wrote about handling difficult cross-examination, integrating perspectives, combining substance with style.
Yes.
And what is, 25 words or less, what is that basically telling people? How to, what, withstand cross-examination?
It's how most effectively to convey the results of the evaluation that you have done.
And then, again, just hundreds of articles on topics that the jurors can look at because your resume is in evidence. Finishing it off on that end, sexual abuse behavior, juvenile forensic mental health, violence risk assessment of juveniles, behavioral measure of sexual offense behavior, influencing third-party informant observations dealing with juveniles. Should the courts coerce offenders into substance abuse treatment? Is there one article, one, that you wrote about a woman who is pregnant, who is undergoing postpartum depression, and God forbid, psychosis?
No.
But you did write an article 49 years ago. You published an article on psychosis in 1977 with your dad before, well, you were in college apparently, right? Right?
Yeah, I was his research assistant at that time when I was in college, yes.
Okay. And this is before you entered graduate school, and you used the diagnostic framework that no longer exists, didn't you, back then?
It was a long time ago.
Right. And actually, it was 3 years before the DSM was even written, DSM-1, back in the Stone Age.
It was a while ago.
That's the only article you ever wrote dealing with that issue. Is that correct, sir?
Dealing with what issue, sir?
Postpartum psychosis.
Ah. Yes.
Says, I mean, yes. Thank you. So, you make arrangements with the district attorney's office to get all this discovery that I sent you, that the DA sent you, police reports that you went through with the jury, and you read it, right?
Yes, that's right.
And you must have talked to the DAs before you saw Lindsay, right?
Yes.
Okay. How many times?
I don't remember how many times.
Well, you billed them for it, I'll bet, right?
Any time I spend on a case like this, I record and it gets billed.
Of course. So you do have records, but who cares at this point? I mean, you're here testifying based on your opinion at the request of the prosecutors, right?
I'm here based on, yes, at this point, I've completed the evaluation and don't remember things like how many times I talked to the DAs as part of it.
But basically, in your conversations with these two prosecutors, sir, did you talk to the state police at all, detectives?
I reviewed a massive amount of reports, some by the state police, some by other individuals. So I reviewed records for many, many hours.
And when you got involved with this case 3 years later, or 2.5 years later, you'd agree with me that it was quite publicized, right?
Yes, I would agree with that.
You've heard of confirmation bias, I'm sure, right?
I have indeed.
Yes. And however many times you talked to the DAs and reviewed the information, would you agree with me, sir, that before you met with Lindsay in Tewksbury, you pretty much had an idea that this woman was a beast. Killed her 3 kids, didn't you?
I would not agree with you at all.
So you had an open mind when you went in there to Tewksbury to see and speak to for 3 days, Lindsay Clancy?
I did my best to have an open mind, and yes.
You told us yesterday you had some difficult decisions to make, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Right. So when did you first meet Avram?
When did I first meet him?
Yeah.
That probably would have been late 2025, early 2026.
Okay. Around the same time that you first got involved with the case?
No, it would have been considerably after I first got involved with the case.
Where did you meet him?
Where did I meet him?
That's what I said. Where did you meet him?
Virtually.
Oh, virtually.
Yes.
Okay. So it's like a Zoom thing or FaceTime or something.
Exactly.
Did you ever meet him in person before you went to Tewksbury?
No, I didn't.
So did you guys have a plan to meet up somewhere before you went to evaluate Lindsay?
In the lobby of the hospital.
Okay. Did you stay somewhere the night before?
I did, yes.
Yeah, well, where'd you stay?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? Were you with Mac that night?
No.
No? Did you stay in a private house?
No.
You stay in a hotel?
Yes, I did.
Wasn't a van down by the river, for sure, right?
I don't remember the name of the hotel, but it was a hotel in Tewksbury.
All right. So you're in a hotel, you meet with Avram Mack in the parking lot, and then you go into Tewksbury Hospital to meet with this young lady, right?
Correct.
And the two of you, day number one, you spend how many hours, the two of you, questioning her?
4.5.
And day number two, you don't bring Mac with you, you're by yourself, and you administer the psychological testing, correct?
Correct.
And how long was that, sir?
3 hours.
And day number three, how long did you speak to Lindsay in the hospital?
3 hours.
So what was your total period of time over a three-day period that this young woman was dealing with you and Abram Mack?
10.5 hours.
So for 10.5 hours, this young lady is in a room, in a wheelchair, being questioned by you and Abram Mack while she's on medication, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And she was still answering your questions, trying to be cooperative and being affable and friendly, you put in your report, right?
Yes, that's right.
Did at any time she express to you that she was tired or wanted to take a break?
We offered her in the beginning.
My question, sir, was...
Question, if you could answer.
Oh, he's going to answer my
question. Hold on. Would you ask a specific question, doctor, if you'd listen to that question, okay?
My question, sir, was at any time... did you or Abram Mack offer to her to take a break?
Yes.
Did she accept that offer?
Once she did and once she did not.
And basically indicated that she wanted to get through this interview and get it over with, right?
Yes.
You weren't her buddy going there to talk to her those 3 days, were you?
No.
She knew that you were there on behalf of the district attorney's office to testify against her in a trial and say to a jury that she knew and was able to conform to the law. She killed her 3 kids. Isn't that right?
No, that's not right.
So, your diagnosis is depressive bipolar 2, right?
Bipolar 2 disorder, right.
Okay. And that's a serious mental disease, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You would agree with me, sir, that Lindsay is testified she's a very hardworking and highly self-disciplined individual, right?
Yes, I would agree with that.
You testified to that yesterday, right?
Yes, that's right.
Right, that's funny.
No, it's not funny. It's just that you asked me whether I agree with something that I testified to yesterday.
So what does that mean?
It means that I testified to it yesterday, and that means I do believe it. Yes.
Okay. So we established that. In your opinion, granted, for those 3 days that you had interactions with Lindsay, is it your opinion that she is a controlling individual, sir?
It depends what you mean by controlling.
Well, let me ask you, for example, would you agree that if a young mother prepares lists for a babysitter, for example, to chop up the carrots and dice them up small, and how to prepare the spinach, and how to prepare the chicken McNuggets, and then leaves them in a note and puts them on the kitchen table, is that controlling, in your opinion, of that individual?
That is something that is... working hard and being disciplined and exerting a certain amount of control, yes.
That's not something that you would use against her in this opinion you have for this jury, is it?
What I do is do my best to describe what she does, what she thinks, what she feels at certain times, what symptoms she has, and so on. And if that's a part of that overall picture, then it's not that I'm using it in favor of her or against her. It's just part of the overall picture, which I'm trying to present.
I mean, it's not a bad thing to chop up the carrots and tell somebody this is how I like my child to be fed, right? There's nothing wrong with that, right?
Not that I know.
And, you would agree, sir, that she was a good student. You told us about, you know, she got all A's. She was hard driving and actually drove herself pretty good to try to succeed in college and in nursing school, right?
I would.
And did you interview any of her coworkers, or did you review any of her five-star reviews from Mass General Hospital, flagship of hospitals?
I reviewed every record that was provided to me.
And that would be by them, right?
It was records that were provided to me by individuals who were a part of the investigation, and a lot of that were interviews with people who had known her before or were currently friends with her, things like that.
Okay. So things like that. I'm asking you, sir, about with her seven-year career as a nurse, labor and delivery nurse, at a very, very well-established hospital, did you talk to any of the nurses that you worked with, or did you review any of the records of her work reviews, anything like that?
No.
Would you agree with me, sir, that she also, by all accounts, is and was an incredible mother taking care of her kids?
I would describe her as a very good mother, yes.
And in fact, sir, in the past 6 weeks or 5 weeks, there hasn't been one person that's had one thing bad to say about her other than these two. Isn't that right?
Sustained.
Did anybody, to your knowledge, come into this court in front of this jury and say that Lindsay Clancy was a bad wife?
I don't know.
How about bad mother?
Again, I don't know.
So in your readings about her as a mother, you were able to see that she would sing to her daughter when she put her to bed. That's in the reports. You read the reports, right?
You might have to ask me that question.
You know Rascal Flatts?
I'm sorry?
Rascal Flatts. You ever heard of them?
No.
Okay. So if I suggest to you, sir, that Lindsay would sing to her daughter every night, is that important to you in your evaluation?
Yes.
You didn't know that, though, apparently, right?
I knew that she was very good with her kids, paid a lot of attention to them, spent a lot of time with them, and really enjoyed it.
Even right up to within hours of their killing, she was making snowmen with them, right?
Yes, she was playing with the two older children out in the backyard.
And then bringing her life experience, which you testified yesterday, that she never had any abuse in her life, was raised by loving mother and father, good student, hard worker, great mother, good friend, wonderful wife. She then randomly decides to kill her children by strangling them. It's the facts we're dealing with, yes, sir, right?
No, not right.
So, one of the things you testified to yesterday is that, and you went like this and said that this is difficult, but then you were able to power through and tell the jury that Lindsay didn't like to leave her kids alone. She got anxious about that. Remember telling that to the jury?
I do.
And this is one of the things that you kind of hang your hat on that you felt was important in your evaluation, right?
It was important. It was an important part of my evaluation that she did not like to leave her kids, and it made her anxious. Yes.
That's not a bad thing, is for a mother not to want to leave her children and be anxious when they're out of her home, right?
Well, it depends. It could be difficult and so on, depending on how anxious and even disabling it was, if she just couldn't leave her kids. But on the other hand, if it just reflected that she was close to them and wanted to be with them and wasn't a problem or disabling, then it's not a problem.
Did you know, sir, that Pat's mother and father would come over to the house and babysit for the kids when Lindsay and her husband would go out to dinner or go out to a movie or go out with their friends? Did you know that, sir?
Yes.
Did you know that the children were actually in Learning Sprouts school? Did you know that?
Yes.
They had to leave the house to go to school, didn't they?
Yes.
She wasn't anxious when they would go to school, was she?
It made her a little anxious to drop her kids off. She didn't like to be separated from them.
Well, that's because the kids many times, not on occasion, would cry, like little kids do when you drop them off somewhere, right?
I don't know if she was anxious only when they cried.
You know that in addition to the date nights, in addition to socializing with friends, in addition to the children leaving to go to the Little Sprouts school, you knew that there were a number of occasions that Lindsay, alone or Lindsay with her husband, would leave the kids and go out and do any number of things. Shopping, socializing, go to Boston, things like that. You know, did you ask third-party contacts about that?
I asked Patrick about that. And one of the things he said is that it was difficult for her to leave the kids. And he used as an example date night for their fifth anniversary. It was hard for her to leave.
Was that in 22?
Was date night for their fifth anniversary in 22?
Just mention it to the jury. Was that in 2022, their fifth anniversary? Your anniversary is in December, right?
I don't know what year it was in, well, Mr. Reddington.
What was the problem? What did he say? Third-party collateral. What did he tell you?
What he said in response to that question is that on date night for their fifth anniversary, she was anxious about leaving the kids.
Wait, did they ultimately go out that night?
They did.
You know where they went?
I don't.
Did she have fun? Did she appear to be enjoying herself away from the kids?
That was not part of the question I asked him.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with a woman being concerned about her babies when she's not at home, right? There's nothing wrong with that.
I wasn't presenting it as something that is wrong.
I'll back off. I'm sorry. I thought you did. I thought yesterday you were telling this jury that because Lindsay didn't like to leave her kids at home, that was a factor that Dr. Helbrin considered in his opinion, but that's fine. You agree that there's nothing wrong with a woman being concerned about her children leaving them out of the house, right?
No, I don't believe I said that. Okay. One of the things that
no,
I...
No, never mind one of the things. They can ask you on...
They can finish.
Okay. The answer is you did not say that.
Judge, I'm getting a little confused here between...
Well, listen, no. See if you... My question is not that confusing.
Okay.
Did you testify... You're done saying that you did not say what Mr. Reddington said?
Yes, I'm done saying that.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
That's good. Next question.
One of the other issues is that also factored into when Tufts prescribed her the SSRI, she didn't want to take it because she was afraid of the breast milk being contaminated by this drug, right?
Yes.
And then ultimately when she stopped breastfeeding, at that point she was able to take the SSRI, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And then Tufts increased it to 50, right?
I don't recall offhand what
okay.
the...
Okay. Well, you agree that Tufts increased the SSRI, right?
I do.
You agree that before the end of September of 2022, this young woman was living her life with her husband and her kids. Summer of 22, happy, had a great time. Do you agree with that, sir?
I do.
And when she saw Tufts from September end up until the killing of these children... And the state of her condition that you told the jury was confusing. Remember using that word yesterday? It was confusing with these number of diagnoses that she dealt with?
Yes, I did use that word.
And the confusing with the number of drugs that was one drug on top of another drug and stop this drug, stop that drug. That was confusing, wasn't it, sir?
Yes, it was.
And it was a confusing and upsetting to her and her husband to the point where they went to these doctors and said to them, you're turning her into a zombie, right?
Yes, that's right.
But prior to seeing Tufts and the other healthcare providers, she was a happy woman, wasn't she?
She was in many respects happy, pleased with her life. So she wasn't happy in an unqualified way, but she was, yes, she was very happy with certain aspects of her life.
So as September turns into October, middle of October or thereabouts, how was she doing at that point between her depression, anxiety, drugs? prescribed. How was she doing?
She was anxious about going back to work, but she hadn't started taking the, drugs that were prescribed.
Let him finish. Go ahead. Go ahead, Doc.
Yes. In September, she was anxious about returning to work. She had not yet started taking the medications that Dr. Tufts had prescribed, though.
How about a text that she had sent to her mother on October 20th, sir? I know you indicated in your report you've had a chance to review all of the computer searches, text messages, Apple Watches, all that stuff, right?
Yes, that's right.
All right. Read that text, please. October 20th. This is a text that she sent to her mother. Read it.
Would you like me to read it out loud?
I'd like you to read it out loud.
All right. Mom, will you please come up and stay with me for a bit? I'm really sick. Something is wrong. I had horrible insomnia all night, and I just don't know how I'm going to get through the day. I started taking the medicine my doctor prescribed for anxiety, and I think it's made things worse. It's just really scary, and I don't want to be alone.
Did her mother come up the next day and stay with her?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at the records.
I'm sure. You know, sir, that she actually climbed into the bed with her mother to sleep with her mother when the mother was staying with her during this period of time?
No, I didn't know that.
In the middle of November, sir, she texted her mother-in-law, which would be Pat's mother, Sue. This would be Sue Clancy, who was also a labor and delivery nurse, right?
Yes, that's correct.
She texted Sue while she was at work as a nurse, right?
Yes.
And Sue was in the emergency room and actually realized that, Lindsay was at the hospital and stated that she felt unwell. Is that right?
Yes.
Did Sue see her in the hospital, if you know?
I think she met with her in the emergency room.
Okay. And then her mother-in-law was trying to help her out and referred her to another person that was a friend of a friend, so to speak, right, to help her out?
The nurse practitioner, is that who you're talking about?
Yes, yeah.
Yes, that's right.
And she was able to meet with that individual, Paul, until she left, I think like a week later. She went on to another job, right?
I think that's right, yeah.
And that's when she saw Nurse Gelada, was that correct?
To my memory, that's correct, yes.
And then would you agree with me, sir, that at this time frame in November, she was having real difficulty with sleep disruption, yes?
Yes, I would.
You had concerns all along about this, starting in mid-October, about the impact of the medications on her insomnia, correct?
Yes, insomnia was one of the first problems that she experienced when she started taking the medication in October.
And she expressed the fact that she believed that the medications were obviously having an adverse effect on her. They were damaging her brain, right?
She did express that view, yes.
And then she still, however, had a positive outlook and was hoping that things would turn around in her life and that she could get back to being herself, is a quote, right?
Yes, that's right.
But instead, and I quote your words yesterday, it got worse.
Yes.
Late in November, she's still having a lot of trouble sleeping. She thought that she was close to, and I quote, the end of her rope. Bad analogy, but nevertheless, that's what she said, right?
Yes, it is.
She was feeling off, disconnected, sort of like a zombie, your words, testifying here yesterday, sir, correct?
Correct.
She was reporting at this point panic symptoms, concerns about the benzodiazepines, correct?
Yes.
Indicated that she was disoriented and forgetful, correct?
Correct.
You told us that she stated that she was disconnected from her body, isn't that correct?
That's how she described feeling, yes.
Could not relate to people, felt that she was in a disassociative state. Isn't that right?
Yes, that is right.
Thought that the medication was resulting in this type of development in her life, correct? She felt the medications were contributing to this.
Yes, that's correct.
And in December, and I quote you, it's not getting better. It got from worse, it got better. Well, actually, not better. It got worse again, didn't it, in December?
December was probably the worst month for her, as she described it.
And in December, sir, you recall that she indicated, and I quote from your testimony, horrible intrusive thoughts. She had thoughts about harming herself, potentially as she continued to experience these thoughts later into December, correct?
Yes, that's right.
These thoughts, did anyone say to her, are these thoughts, are these coming from outside your head? Are they coming from inside your head? Are they male voices? Are they female voices? Anybody ask anything about thoughts, what they were? According to the medical records, not according to your guess.
That's a standard kind of question when you're
My being question, treated. Sir, is you read the medical records.
No, overruled.
Can you answer that question based on Dr. Helbrun's review of the medical records of what this young lady went through in that hell that she was living?
Is your question, did someone ask her about hallucinations?
Yeah, if I come to you for help and I say, I've got intrusive thoughts about killing myself, and God forbid I'm thinking about killing my kids, I've got these thoughts in my head. Did you ask me?
Voices.
Thoughts? What are they? Does anybody ask that question?
Yes, that's a standard question that psychiatrists ask at the beginning of each appointment. It's a standard mental status question.
Did any one of those psychiatrists ask Lindsay Clancy that question, according to the medical records? Anyone?
Ms. Clancy completed the answer to those questions
What question?
On a number of occasions.
Sir,
if
what
I might.
Questions?
No, oh, go ahead.
What questions?
Finish that question, and I'll let you have that question.
Okay.
Finish the answer.
Questions such as, are you hearing voices? If so, describe those and so on. And the typical response that she gave in as part of a question like that was no.
How about when someone says, I've got dark thoughts? Does anybody, professionals, ask, what are the dark thoughts?
If somebody said, I'm having dark thoughts, then the follow-up question would be, tell me more. What are the thoughts? Tell me, just give me some descriptions of what you're having, what you're thinking, what it's like, and so on.
So if a patient goes to a doctor and says, I'm having these intrusive thoughts, I'm having dark thoughts, I'm having thoughts of, and at the same time frame in December, mm-hmm. she's talking about harming the children, correct?
She said that those thoughts had come to her at times.
At times?
Yes.
And she mentioned that to her husband, didn't she?
That's what she said, yes.
She mentioned... Did you talk to her husband about it?
Yes, I did talk to her husband.
Tell you that she said that to him?
Yes.
A couple of times she said it to him, right?
A couple of times she said, I'm having thoughts, and he asked her, give me more detail if you could, and she said, they're just thoughts, it's not a plan, that sort of thing.
You got this girl living in her house with her kids, saying she's having dark thoughts, saying she's thinking of harming the children, and Patrick's response, according to your testimony, is just basically, just power through it, you'll be okay?
Objection.
No, overruled.
No, that was not his response as he described it. He asked more questions because one of the things that she had been dealing with for some time are thoughts about hurting herself and possibly the kids. And so what he did was try to get more information about the details. He asked questions that a mental health professional would also ask, which is how often, what are they like? Do you have a plan? Things like that. And she pretty consistently said, no, I don't have a plan. And this is how often it happens, but they're just thoughts.
So that's, let's talk about that, because that's apparently the standard reaction if a patient comes to a doctor and says, I'm having dark thoughts, intrusive thoughts, I'm thinking of hurting myself, I'm thinking of hurting the kids, you say, do you have a plan? That's the question you ask, right?
That's one of the questions that you ask,
if
yes.
The person says, nah, I don't have a plan, I'm just having these thoughts, then you just basically move on, give them more drugs. What do you do?
No, you don't move on. You're aware that the person has reported having those thoughts, and you've appraised the risk, and the risk has to do with things like How imminent is it? How serious is it? Are there means? How is there a plan? What sort of detail is involved, and so on? And so basically what you do at that point is you take it seriously, mm-hmm. but you also try to describe how seriously to take it.
Okay. Would you agree, sir, that she was complaining through December about these unwelcome and internal thoughts? Is that correct?
Yes.
It's important for your evaluation because when you ask the question, when you're experiencing these thoughts, were they your own thoughts or were they auditory hallucinations? And she indicated to you they're my own thoughts. That's what your testimony was, right, yesterday?
That's correct.
But she made clear that these were unwelcome and that they were intrusive. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, she did.
So she's answering your questions honestly. She certainly isn't trying to fake that she's hearing all sorts of voices yelling at her and things like that. She's answering honestly, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Very cooperative, correct?
Yes, correct.
You then would indicate, sir, that in your evaluation as you went on, that she described an experience on December 15th, and she described December 15th as being literally one of the worst days in her life, right?
Yes.
And that's, why was it one of the worst days of her life?
Well, it was one of the worst days because things were getting more intense and difficult, and the thoughts that she was experiencing were harder to handle for her.
As a result of that, her husband Pat took her to the hospital, right?
Correct.
And you indicated that it looked like she was having general anxiety symptoms, right? That's your testimony yesterday.
It looked from what the records reflected that anxiety was something that they were focusing on her experiencing.
And then you said in your testimony, but not so much the postpartum. What does that mean?
It means that in December, she would have been 7 months away from giving birth to Callan. And consequently, it was less likely to be postpartum than depression for other reasons or bipolar or major depression or something like that, rather than postpartum depression or postpartum psychosis, okay. Something like that.
Because you know that postpartum is not a medical diagnosis. That's just the fact that you had a baby, right?
I do know that, yes.
Okay. And when she went to that hospital, did they provide any help for her or any medication or what happened on December 15th?
She did not stay in the hospital very long. And so, no, she didn't remain there long enough to get the kind of help that you would usually get on an inpatient basis.
But the next day or thereabouts, she goes back to see Tufts, right?
Yes.
Okay. So she immediately tries to reach out for help to anybody that would listen to her, right?
She was trying hard to get help.
Now we get to December 20th. December 20th wasn't a very good day either, was it?
Well, that was the day she went to the She went to the Rhode Island hospital that had a postpartum program.
Now, you know from looking at the medical records that, in fact, it was recommended to her, I think by maybe the LASCW young lady, Letitia Dukes, but maybe I'm wrong, they're in the records. Someone told her to get in touch with this Rhode Island hospital, right?
Yes.
They specialized in postpartum care for women that possibly are going through postpartum psychosis or postpartum depression, right?
Yes.
And Pat, her husband, took her and dropped her off, and then he went skiing with Cara. Is that correct?
Correct.
And he dropped her off in that hospital, and she was evaluated by a doctor and some people, correct?
Yes.
And you reviewed those medical records, right?
I did.
And when you reviewed the medical records, did you see that she was also involved in group discussions and crayons and coloring and things like that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Did that help her out, do you think, coloring?
There's a number of things that they try to do. I think coloring as such would not be helpful, but okay. There's art therapy and there's various other kinds of things that people are involved in.
All right, so various other things that people are involved in. So I assume the people you're referring to would be the employees of the hospital.
Or the patients who are attending the postpartum program.
Okay. So what exactly was the program? What did they do? That one day that she was there, she was there for 8 hours. What did they do?
She wasn't accepted as part of that program.
I didn't ask you about that. I asked you, what did they do?
Well, they evaluated her, is my understanding from reviewing the records.
And then what happened, sir, when they evaluated her?
They evaluated her and they indicated that she was not appropriate for their program.
And you testified yesterday that, and I quote, they said she did not necessarily fit into their postpartum program. They did offer her three other programs. Remember that, sir?
Yes.
Okay. And then you indicated that patient was offered several options, including inpatient treatment for medication management, right?
Yes.
A partial hospitalization program focused on general mental health,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Where was that program?
I don't know.
Or continued outpatient management, right?
Yes.
What is that, like going to see Tufts? Outpatient management?
Yes, that's living at home in the community and being treated by a psychiatrist, which is what Dr. Tufts was.
Right. Well, okay. So patient plans to follow up with her outpatient provider for guidance is what you said yesterday, right?
Yes.
And she did the next day, right?
Yes.
And do you think that it's that a doctor who has been licensed as a physician psychiatrist advertising that they specialize in postpartum, postnatal issues is qualified to treat a young woman with this symptomology that she brought to that desk? Oh, I'm sorry, to the television set?
I don't understand your question.
Well, you know that she never met. Tufts never met this girl. She never met her, ever, until she sat in that witness stand.
I understand that their treatment was done remotely.
Was remotely? So when I say the television, that's what I mean. It's like you're on Zoom, you're on whatever. That's why I apologize for that.
Yes. Yeah.
So she went the next day and actually remotely accessed a meeting with Dr. Tufts, right?
Yes.
And then she went back onto her schedule with Dr. Tufts, but that didn't help so much. Is that correct? You indicated that she was still numb. She was still having suicidal ideation, things of that nature, right?
Correct.
Okay. One of the things that you said, though, sir, yesterday is that her admission to the hospital was because they did not feel, and I quote, that she did not necessarily fit into their program. You recall that?
You mean their failure to accept her into the day program?
The failure to help her, period. They told her to leave.
It's my understanding that what they said was that you don't fit with our program because it's not a postpartum phenomenon, and that's what the program is about.
Did you really read those records?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay.
And I wrote something about, in my report, I wrote something about it.
Wait for the next question, okay?
Yes, sir.
So you read the records from that Women and Infants Hospital in Rhode Island?
Yes.
On this jury, right?
Yes.
And what was the word, the language, the word, Sally, you just said to me that they didn't accept her because of what?
Objection.
Yeah. You rephrase that.
What was it you just said to this jury? They wouldn't accept her? Why?
It was a day program for women experiencing postpartum difficulties. And their evaluation of Ms. Clancy was that her difficulties were more related to general mental health, but not particularly to postpartum difficulties. And so she did not, if I might.
Yeah, you might.
If she might be more appropriate for somebody, she might be more appropriate for a general mental health program, but not so much for a postpartum day program, which is what they had. So they didn't say that you don't need help. They just said that you don't fit with our program.
Would it surprise you to know, sir, that they said that she didn't fit with their program, as you put it, because of the overlay of over-medication that her doctors had caused to that point? Do you have any memory of that at all?
There were questions that they raised about the medication.
It wasn't just questions. They said that's the reason. The secondary diagnosis as to why they wouldn't accept this young lady is because of the medications that she had been prescribed. Over-medicated. Do you recall seeing that in those records?
Yes, I recall a diagnosis of depression, which was not specified further because there were medicine complications.
Do I have to get the medical records and read them to you?
I actually have something in my report, so good. I can read it back
can
to you.
Can you pull it out and tell me what the discharge diagnosis was?
Exhibit 220.
I'm on page 18 of my report. And the records indicate a diagnosis of generalized anxiety disorder and depressive disorder without further specification, and I quote, due to adverse drug effects.
Anything else?
Yes. They indicate that her chief complaint was feeling numb and crazy depressed, identified passive suicidal ideation, notes that the,
I'm sure you can read all the diagnoses. My question, sir, is simple. It's on the discharge diagnosis. That's all.
Yes, the discharge diagnosis was anxiety and depression.
And secondary to what?
They didn't specify more about the depression because it was due to adverse drug effects.
Okay. And in your review of the record, sir, did you then see that the doctor at the Women and Infants at least was concerned enough about the overprescriptions that she reached out to Dr. Gelada to speak to her?
Dr. Gelada?
Nurse Practitioner Gelada.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. It's like Captain Major, that type of thing. But Gelada, you know who she is, right?
I do, yes.
Okay. Did they reach out to nurse practitioner Gelada?
I did not see that in the records.
Can we break here, Judge, because I got to make records.
All right. It's 11 o'clock. So why don't we take the morning recess at this time? We'll come back shortly.
Okay.
Boy, all right, please. I can vote the vote.
More live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsay Clancy is on the way. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's, mm-hmm. but the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the strawberry watermelon refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. It's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're gonna need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's, mm-hmm. but the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the strawberry watermelon refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. It's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're gonna need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's, mm-hmm. but the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the strawberry watermelon refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. It's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're gonna need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's, mm-hmm. but the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the Strawberry Watermelon Refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull that's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're going to need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the Strawberry Watermelon Refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull that's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're going to need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's, mm-hmm. but the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the Strawberry Watermelon Refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull that's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're going to need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.